Now, what I'm going to do today, my title of the talk is The Euro Crisis and the Crisis in the German Economic Profession. I think that Germany, you know, whatever is criticized, you just look Monday morning, read the Financial Times, and you realize what they call it, the critique in terms of Germany. What is the critique in terms of Germany? That it is, in fact, uniformly and in terms of that the central message is austerity and budgetary discipline. And I'm really asking, where do these ideas come from? There have been many ideas or reasons mentioned. I will go into them, from geopolitics to domestic veto points. But I will talk more about the economic profession and then discuss that with you, because bottom line is really, it is the German ordo liberalism which is being taught in virtually every single German department without exception. Okay, there are two or three exceptions. All right, but this, in fact, what I'm talking today is a larger project. The larger project is, after the crisis, what kind of EU and Eurozone? That is actually the question I have. Will it be a German Europe or a European Germany? And what does that mean? All right? But I do believe that the European Union, Eurozone, will look different if we ever get over this crisis, if the euro does not collapse. Even if it does collapse, we still have the European Union. It will look different. And how will it look different? These are the questions I have. Now, so what is happening? So let me just point out, I want to talk about the German economic profession, but I want to also show you some examples in terms of what is the emphasis in terms of Germany. And you can see then very strongly this continuity, as I pointed out, the message on austerity and on budgetary discipline. And we just had an example last week, in fact, the Treaty on Stability and Coordination and Governance in the Economic and Monetary Union was signed. And this is wonderful. It says governance, coordination, but the bottom line is the centerpiece is the ability to fine governments that refuse to correct their budgets. Okay, that is the center line, and very little in terms of coordination. The national budgets have to be in balance or even in surplus, and the government deficits cannot be higher than 0.05%. And this is called in German eine Schuldbremse, a debt break, which actually all other countries should, okay, interpret or integrate into their national law, even by constitution. In Germany, we have it already in the constitution since 2006. The second thing is also that the European Court of Justice comes in. There are automatic correction mechanisms. And the interesting thing with that is that, in fact, it will be an absolute implementation nightmare, because it's not the European Council who can take a country to the European Court of Justice, but rather another country has to take that country who is, in fact, having budgetary deficits to the European Court of Justice. That has to do with, because it's an intergovernmental, in fact, pact, and it is not within a EU treaty. And for once, Germany is not at fault for that. That is the fault of David Cameron. He refused. Sorry, I have to look at you. That is, you know, it is David Cameron who said, we are not going to be part of this treaty. So it's an intergovernmental, in fact, pact. And as you know, the Irish, in fact, have decided to call a referendum. But guess what? It doesn't even matter. Even if the Irish say no, because we only need 12 of the 17 member states to accept the treaty, which I think is really quite devastating. But it will be, even if the Irish say no, it will be a symbolic, really, defeat. And in terms of the euro crisis management, even then we do not know how the election is going to go in France, whatever. So there may be several other no's. But let's come back to Germany. From the start of the crisis, okay, early 2010, The Germans have insisted on fiscal discipline, all right? It's absolutely every paper, everything, fiscal discipline. And the German idea, and this is actually a German academic, it's a school. The German idea is that fiscal consolidation is an essential condition to return to higher growth and employment. First you have a balanced budget, and then growth will come. That is, in fact, Schäuble, Angela Merkel, our profession, in fact, says this. And in fact, Schäuble said, well, look at Germany, what we did. Okay, we have now economic growth. We tried to have a balanced budget, and it works. And actually, you can take it, but I have to be very careful in terms of my time, so you don't cut me off. It is really, in a sense, you can talk about the European Union right now being, we have a gold standard. Because what's happening is, we have a deflationary pressure on the deficit countries. So what Germany is saying, what do you need to do? You know, to read in terms of Polanyi, to lower wages, decrease the production cost, and then what happens? You increase competition, and the imbalances will be, macroeconomic balances will be rectified, okay? But what's so amazing, so really it's a gold standard, you can really talk about a gold standard, but what's so amazing is in terms of the fiscal discipline, and what I do not understand in Germany at all is, if we look at the crisis, surely Greece has had a public and still has a huge public deficit of, at this point, 170%. But if we look at Spain, okay, if we look at Ireland, even if we look at Portugal, these were private debts. These were not public debts. And in fact, I wrote an article here, The Truth About the Euro Crisis. Merkel and Sarkozy did not save the peripheral countries. They saved their banking structures. Right? That's what's really happened in Europe. But in Germany, we talk about that these countries, in fact, were unable to, in fact, keep their house, as Angela Merkel, the Schwabian housewife, you know how to live within your means. So in fact, in Germany, what the Germans and the French did, in those countries, you had a banking crisis in terms of they invested in housing, in consumption, whatever, and it was only turned into a sovereign debt crisis when, in fact, the governments took over the debts of the banks, all right? So the banks really got caught with too many collateral debt obligations on their books, and then, as I said, finally they landed up in the budgets. And if you look very quickly in terms of the figures, for example, the net public debt 2006 in Ireland was 12%, net public debt. Spain, 31%. Portugal, 59%, was perfectly okay. Germany, 53%. France, 60%, all right? So these countries actually had a very low low debt. And yet all, in fact, our resolutions, management, the discourses in Germany, these countries are unable to live within their means. Therefore, we have to have these debt break in order to discipline them. And Mark Bleis and Abe Newman called this the greatest swindle of modern times, perpetrated on the European public by their governments on behalf of their banks, meaning to call it a sovereign debt crisis when actually it is a banking crisis. What could they have done? The government could have recapitalized the banks, let the shareholders take a hit, and the government, but instead the government bailed out the banks, since it was believed that these banks were too big to fail. Okay, how many much? Okay, I'm talking already very fast, so to get through. Furthermore, in terms of the Germans, it is a step-by-step approach. And one can also argue, you know, at each new turn, the crisis gets bigger and more expensive. When you look initially at the figure, May 2010, the Greece debt was about 50 billion euros, right? Today, it adds up to 2 to 3 trillion euros. But if you compare that with German unification, the costs for German unification over since 1990 have cost 4 trillion, All right, so 50 billion, if Germany had at that point and the other countries come in and said we stand behind Greece with surely conditions in terms of doing something about their budget, I don't think we would face quite the same crisis today. But Germany denies, as I said, the private that they make a difference in terms of the crisis is not discussed in Germany at all, right? Which I find absolutely amazing. All of them are put in the same kind of budgetary, people who, or countries who cannot live within their means. Germany also denies any responsibility for the macroeconomic imbalances. Right, that is never even mentioned. Since the introduction of the euro, we of course know, and for example, I have here a graph, it does show with the introduction of the euro, you have Germany current account surpluses increased, and you have in the other countries very much a deficit. But on the other hand, look, what is Germany doing? Germany is exporting, all right? So Germany is exporting its machines, exporting its chemicals, exporting its machine tools, orders, of course, into the periphery. And of course, we then in Germany have the surpluses, other countries have the deficits. But again, as I said, there's very little talk about that. I'm not going to talk about John Maynard Keynes. Very quickly, just one line, has already talked, 1945, that we have to look at macroeconomic balances. We have to integrate also the surplus countries and not just the deficit countries. So how can we, so these are just some of the things, how the discussions are or not being held in Germany. So how can we understand the German single-mindedness on these austerity rules and punitive steps for the public sector? Okay, it's punishing. When I heard that in terms of that even sinners, as they are called in German, budget sinners can be taken to the European Central Court, I was saying, you know, I'm glad we don't have the death penalty in Europe because I think, you know, we do not know what the Germans had wanted with people who, in fact, go above the limits of what had been said. But none of these acts will address, as I said, the banking sector, the problem with the banking sectors. Some of the major explanations in Germany, the major explanations about why is Germany acting as it is. The first one is geopolitics, and that says, of course, Germany after unification, it has become much more of a normal country, as the economists called it. It has become more self-confident, nationalist, and also, if you look at the export numbers, the Eurozone and the EU is not the only game in town anymore. There are other countries, China and the Middle East. There's another argument. So the first is geopolitics, okay? After 1989, it changed. Germany is a different country, is much more self-confident. There's a generational argument, and that goes back to Karl Mannheim. The present generation does not have the personal experience of war, as, for example, Mitterrand, but also in Germany, Helmut Kohl, Hans-Dietrich Genscher, many of these people, also Helmut Schmidt, and on the other side in France, these people were involved. They share an experience of the horror of the war. The new generation, Schröder and Angela Merkel, and many of these do not have this experience. So this is another argument. The third argument, and this, all these arguments surely have, as I said, I'm not discounting them at all. Another argument is the domestic politics, that there are many veto points. For example, we have the German Constitutional Court, which is extraordinary or has moved much more to a Euroscepticism. And as you know, the German Constitutional Court has been each decision taken by the EU in terms of has been taken by some of the lawyers and economists to the German Constitutional Court, and some of the decisions are still outstanding. So it has not been resolved at all. Another thing are the coalition governments. Angela Merkel or the CDU parties are never by themselves in power. They always share power with another party. there's many also party politics and the many frequent or Länder elections, which in every 3-4 months we have a Länder election, and Angela Merkel, of course, has always to play to the citizens of not spending money for Greeks or whatever. And a big role, which is completely underestimated, is the role of the media, particularly the Bild-Zeitung. On Friday, the Bild-Zeitung came out with a new headline, and that is, billion for Greece, stop, all right? That has a big, you know, you can imagine what is happening right now, again, the discussion, it stopped. We are not going to pay anything more after the second tranche for Greece. This German stability culture is another thing. That is very true, that the fear of inflation going back to the 1920 is very deep-seated in German psyche. And there's also a split between the export industry, who are pro-euro, they take out, for example, advertising, Financial Times, but the small and medium firms are much less pro-euro, and they are the strong CSU and also CDU supporters. But so all these arguments, surely there is some truth to that. But my argument is somewhat different, and I hope I still have time to go through it. My argument, how, 2 minutes, okay. That, all right, even faster, whatever. that the ideas that there is more, that we have to look also to the ideas and the ideational moment which drives German politics in the Eurozone, okay? It is the ideas in terms, it's not just policy, it's not just interest. These are ideas. What are the ideas? And that is the obstinate belief in ordoliberalism, the Ordnungspolitik, which is being taught, as I mentioned, in virtually every European or German econ department. What is ordoliberalism? Ordoliberalism is not neoliberalism. What is it? It's a rule-based system, okay, very strongly. You can see this with Angela Merkel. If you look at all the different crisis resolution, it is very strongly, we need rules. We adhere to rules, and within those rules, the market can work efficiently. That is shared by economists, bankers, political class, the media, the public, all my students, okay? That is simply, they are like, as I said, the mother milk, they have ingested that. So even, for example, Ottmar Issing, and I wanted to read that out, who was a former ECB board, he said, the EMU is based on rules enshrined in treaties. The euro was created as a depoliticized currency, right? Its ability is entrusted to an independent central bank with the mandate to maintain price stability, all right? He just said that recently. And if you analyze Angela Merkel's crisis resolution mechanism, you find with her a distrust of market, not like, as I said, market endorsement, as one has in neoliberalism. She has a distrust of short-termism of the market, distrust of discretionary politics, in contrast to the French, who are very much in terms of discretionary politics, and politics trumps the market. So Angela Merkel, in fact, is really very strongly against rating agencies saying, I don't care, okay? I will, in fact, it is politics which counts, and in fact, the rules. Now, just I try to stay within the limit. Where does this strong adherence to order liberalism come from? So these are the ideas. Where does it come from? Waltraud Schelkle from the London School of Economics, who is also German, in a very polemic article last week argued that, look, what is Germany? It's an oversized industrial park with little understanding of financial market dynamics. And I would absolutely agree with that. Our economists do not have, or they have very little engagement with global finance. The focus is very much on industry, as I pointed out, it's on cars, it's machine tools, with the result that the rest of the world, of course, Germany thinks about that, we produce these industrial goods, the rest of the world, in fact, of course, is indebted to Germany because you are selling it to other countries. But that is never a discussion, okay, in Germany. It's just the other one have the debt and they really supposedly cannot keep their house in order. Finance is only an instrument of industrial politics, very important. So I agree with Schelke that German elite, they have a limited idea of financial market dynamics, but I would really argue that the German, one can't just say, all right, I don't want to go into blame, but rather also to understand it. Remember the book which many of us read, Peter Gurevich, Politics in Hard Time. He laid out that in moment of crisis and crisis resolution, sometimes you really go back to outdated ideas, even to changing circumstances. The reason is Germany has an extraordinary distrust, even fear of change. All right? That's the reliance on old ideas. It is Ordnungspolitik, not changing. Okay, we stay within this industrial framework. But the problem, of course, is that the Germans, with these outdated economic ideas, have or believe that they, in fact, have the power to furnish, in terms of the European Central Bank, the or have in the driver's seat a chief economist. And that is one of the things I've never understood. Why? What right does Germany have that every time we have a chief economist who is a German? We know that Axel Weber completely disagreed with the European Central Bank, what in fact Jean-Claude Trichet did. We had it also with Jürgen Stark. We have it now with Jürgen Asmussen. And I really have to say, sorry about that, but when you look at their credentials, they are not prestigious and renowned economists, all right? They have very little experience. All right, Axel Weber, perhaps somewhat different, but they completely disagreed. And I would argue that the European Central Bank actually saved us, and certainly not the German academics. Rather, we are confronted with an economic profession, that's my last sentence, they're globally quite isolated, very parochial, are not cited in international economic journals. They don't even appear in the international circuit. They believe in the myth that what they espouse is non-ideological, it is technical, it has nothing to do with ideology, that the euro currency is a depoliticized currency, and that permanent export surpluses are not destabilizing. And they have a deep distrust of finance. Where do we go from here? I think what is important, and perhaps we can then have a discussion, I think we need to engage more, all of us, in German economic ideas, where do they come from, and not confuse ordoliberalism with neoliberalism. I'm very frustrated that most of the articles written, Germany is a neoliberal country. Absolutely not. It's ordoliberalism. But we need to engage more with the German economic ideas in order, I believe, to understand the crisis. Thank you very much.
Thank you.